So, Afrelech Chanukah, and Agun Chodesh, it's Chodesh Teves. So we're now two in a row. Very good. Two, according to some opinions, is a Chazakah. Back with the Rosh Chodesh Urim. Last month, we spoke about an idea that certainly comes from Chanukah, Chodesh Kislev. And now we'll try to go away from Chanukah and try to take as much as we can. Try to keep the fire burning and let it illuminate ourselves and our avodah into the coming months. Chodesh Teves begins the official winter time, begins the longer nights, begins the darkness. And indeed, the fact that Chanukah is the only Yom Tov that really spans 2 months. Doesn't have its own designated month, but it's in 2 months, it's in Kislev and in Teves. That itself should indicate that Chanukah is supposed to be taken not only in Kislev, not only the lessons enveloped the whole month of Kislev, but indeed we even are able to stretch it out, as it were, into the month of Teves as well. And Teves again, the months of Mor Choshech. As well, Chanukah is unique in that it's the only Yom Tov, it's the only Chag that falls out in a weekday. Even though we know Purim too. Purim too. But Chanukah being a weekday, what does that indicate to us also? That sometimes we try to take from a Yom Tov. But a Yom Tov is unique. A Yom Tov is Asur B'Malacha. All of the Yom Tovim we have from the Torah, it's Asur B'Malacha. We have to be in a different mode. The whole mindset of a person is different than those Yom Tovim. And to then take that into the Yimei Chol, to take that into our regular activities of during the week, is much harder to make that transition, because we fall back and slip back into the Yimei Chol. But Chanukah is unique in that we had 8 days of Yimei Chol, and sort of we went about our regular duties, our regular activities. We went to work, we were able to do malacha, but certain parts of our day were different. And we took time out each night and we lit the menorah. We took time out each day and we said halal. And we recited Al Anisim. And that idea, that it's easier to stay with it. It's more similar to the days that we've been experiencing, and take that into the Yimei Chol, into Chodesh Teves. There are many ideas that I'm sure I've heard and learned about Chanukah. I'd like to focus on one this evening, take one idea, and hopefully go away from Chanukah with an idea of inspiration that, again, we can take with us even after the candles burn down. The Gemara tells us in Yuma, Daf Chotesem at Aleph, what is the meaning of L'menatzeach Alayeles HaShachar? Why is Esther compared to the Shachar, the dawn, or daybreak? Why do we compare Esther to daybreak? Says the Gemara, Lo Melacha, to tell you, Ma Shachar Seif Kol Alayla, just like daybreak is what ends the night, so too Purim. And Esther, being a main personality in Purim, is Seif Kol Hanisim. That's the end of all miracles. The end of miracles that Hashem displays for Klal Yisrael in such a clear fashion, that ended with Purim. And the Gemara says, what about Chanukah? Vayikra Chanukah. Chanukah, of course, comes out, chronologically speaking, historically, it happened after Chanukah. Purim takes place in between the first and second Beis Hamikdash, after Bayis Rishon, and Chanukah, of course, takes place about 200 years before the end of Bayis Sheni. So the Gemara asks, "Vayikra Chanukah?" The Gemara answers very enigmatically, "Nitna likosev kamrinon." What I mean to say is that those that there can be written down. What does that mean? Purim can be written down. Purim is the end of the Nisim that can be committed to writing, as opposed to Chanukah. Does that mean Chanukah is any less? And that's what we say, that's the end of all Nisim. Esther, Seif Kol Hanisim, because that can be written down, and Chanukah can be written down. What does that mean for us? But what we see clearly from the Gemara is that they're making a distinction between Purim and Chanukah. And Purim, if you will, is designated, or we connected more with Bayis Rishon, the period of Nevuah, the period when Hashem spoke to human beings in this world and had them then write down this prophecy. And indeed all of the Nevuah that was given to the period of Nevi'im were mainly for the time of the first Beis Hamikdash and thereafter and for Golas Bavel. That's what the Nevi'im that we had at those times, it was specifically for those times. And there are of course allusions that will be lost in Lavi, but not beyond those times. So we'd like to explain, based on primarily on a Gra on the Vilna Gaon, and use this as background to explain an idea from Chanukah, some idea that we can take out of Chanukah. But again, using this Gemara and contrasting the difference between Purim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with us through an idea of miracles in Purim and that of an idea of miracles through Chanukah. And if we understand that, or at least if we don't understand it fully, because they are pretty deep concepts, but at least it will be a good setting, a background, for then being able to understand an idea of what we can take practically from Chanukah. When we say Purim is more connected, we relegate Purim to the first Beis Hamikdash and Chanukah to the second Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara tells us clearly the difference between the first Beis Hamikdash and the second Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara in Yuma and the Chaf Aleph tells us that there were five differences or five things that were actually missing in the second Beis Hamikdash that we merited having in the Bayis Rishon. The Gemara darshins from a pasuk in Chagai, one of the last of the prophets of the Nevi'im, and the pasuk says Ve'eretzo boi ve'ikaved. That's how you would read it. However, really we read it ve'ikavda. But the way it's written, it's missing a hey. The Eretz Abba Hashem says, I am appeased and I am merutz over here, and I would like you to build another Beis Hamikdash. And V'ikavda, but spelled or written, yes, written V'ikaved, and it's missing a hey. And the Gemara says, why is the hey missing this word? Says the Gemara, this refers to the five things. The hay is the five things that were missing, that lacked in the second Beis Hamikdash that we had in the first Beis Hamikdash. Elu chamish dvarim shahayu bein mikdash rishayin lemikdash sheni. Ve'elu hayin, and these are they. The Gemara says the first is the Aroin and the Kaparis and the Kruvim. Rashi learns this as one. The Ark itself, which of course contained the Kaparis and the Kruvim, the cover and the winged beings on top, the angelic beings on top of it. That's one thing that was missing from the first Beis Hamikdash, which you didn't have in the second Beis Hamikdash. The second is Eish. There was a fire that came down to consume the Karbonos. Miraculously, a fire from Shemayim came down to consume the Karbonos. Ushchina, Rashi explains, that it was clear, the clarity of the Shechina being present in the Bayis Rishayin was there, and that we lacked in the second Beis Hamikdash. The Ruach HaKodesh, here Rashi explains, as Nevuah, prophecy was in its full glory during the whole period of the first Beis Hamikdash, and then at the start of Bayis Sheni, with the last of the Nevi'im, and then it ceased. And finally, Urim V'Tumim. Urim V'Tumim worked that the ability to be able to ask from Hashem Kaviyochel direction and guidance of what Klal Yisrael should do or what they shouldn't do. Should they go to war? Should they not go to war? And this was used by Malachim, by kings. This was used by Kahanim Gedolim, that they would ask the Urim V'Tumim. And as is known, the different stones would light up and it would be sort of a clear nevuah and direction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These five things we did not have, we did not merit in the second Beis Hamikdash. Chazal tell us that's one reason actually the people didn't want to build the second Beis Hamikdash. So the first Beis Hamikdash, we know what that was, we know what it means to have a house for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There will be the Shechina will be present, we'll have Nevuah, but just to make a bias that we won't be able to have that, that we'll lack that, they didn't want to build it. And Hashem says, no, the Eretz HaBoi V'Ikavda. I want that too, V'Ikavda, and I will also have my glory. I will also be recognized and glorified through the Bayis Sheni as well. So what do we see as a contrast, the difference between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni? Bayis Rishon had the Aroin. Bayis Rishon had Nevuah. Bayis Rishon had the Shechina. Bayis Rishon had Urim V'Tumim. That was clear. It was the presence of Hashem, Nevuah, that was in Bayis Rishon. In Bayis Sheni, we lack that. In Bayis Rishon, we had the Aron. What did the Aron house? The Aron housed the Luchos. The Luchos is the written law. The Luchos is Torah Shebiksav. We didn't have the Aron, the Bayis Sheni. That means the Torah that we had sort of was not coming through a Torah Shebiksav, but it came rather through a Torah Shebal Peh. That's represented by the menorah. The Aron in the first Beis Hamikdash, Torah Shebiksav. The Luchos in the Luchos. The menorah in the second Beis Hamikdash, that's Torah Shebaal Peh. In the first Beis Hamikdash, we had Nevuah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to people through Nevuah, through open conversation, open communication. That's Nevuah. In the second Beis Hamikdash, we didn't have Nevuah anymore. We had Chochmah. We had Nevuah in the first and Chochmah, wisdom. Chochmah Satera we had in the second Beis Hamikdash. The Von Gaon describes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus is revealed to people in this world in one of two fashions. What he calls it, the Bechina of Leah and a Bechina of Rachel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals His glory, reveals His sovereignty over the world, or reveals His connection with Klal Yisrael in the world, in this world as being the king of Klal Yisrael, either in a way of Leah or in a way of Rachel. In the way of Rachel, says the Vilna Gaon, that means where HaKadosh Baruch Hu displays His omnipotence with open miracles. For example, like we had in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim where Oisei Sumoifsim, great wonders and miracles. Clearly the hand of Hashem, the Yad Hashem, recognized by all, that's the Bechina of Leah. That's the concept. Leah meaning is a concept of Leah that happened in Mitzrayim. It says in the Vilna Gaon, that also will happen La'asa Lavi. By the final redemption, the Geula, Achreina also will have the Bechina of Leah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will display fantastic miracles in an overt fashion. Then there's another concept called Rachel. And that is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kingdom, His kingship, His sovereignty over the world and His connection to Klal Yisrael is revealed through our deeds, through our ma'isim. We're able to reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu through our mitzvahs, through our mesiras nefesh. We're able to reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. How do we understand that using Rachel and Leah? Well, we know that Yaakov Avinu, who is Klal Yisrael, was married to these two wives, Rachel and Leah. But in the marriage to Rachel, he worked many years. He worked 7 years, and then he worked an additional 7 years to be able to connect, to be able to have that relationship with Rachel. And yet for Leah, there was no work done at all. And that's in a sense, I think, what the Vilna Gaon is saying. There are certain things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just displays miracles. We did nothing. In terms of beholding these miracles, we did nothing to, at the moment, to earn those miracles. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us prophecy. That means He came and He spoke to human beings. He spoke to people and He gave them guidance and He gave them clear direction and instruction of how they should lead the Jewish people. That we had in Beis Hamikdash Rishon. That we had in Bayis Rishon. That we had during the time of Purim and before that. Purim was still a time of Nevi'im. Mordechai was one of the Nevi'im that the Gemara tells us in Megillah. And Bayis Sheni started a new concept, a new way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu relating to Klal Yisrael. In the Kabbalistic terminology, it's Isarusa de La'ela, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is His own arousal, Kaviyachal, or Isarusa de La'tata, or our arousal, our awakening, Kaviyachal Shechina. We had also a glimpse of Shechina in the second Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara tells us that all the days of Shimon HaTzadik, which was 40 years when he was a Kohen Gadol, the Ner Ma'aravi burnt and never extinguished. Till every night, when they had to relight the menorah, they extinguished it themselves. That's a form of Shechina. That's a riot. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that Shechina Sheri Yisrael. How do we know? Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence is in Klal Yisrael, in his home in the Beis Hamidash, because the Ner never extinguished, never went out, the Ner Maravi. During that 40-year period, it never went out. After that, the Gemara says, sometimes it did, sometimes it didn't. Which means, we also were Zeichet some Shechina, Tahashras HaShechina, Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence in the second Beis Hamidash. However, it was done in a different way. It had to be brought out by us. It had to be merited by Klal Yisrael. The Sifsei Chaim, Reb Chaim Friedlander, suggests that this idea, this concept that the Vilna Gaon writes, works very well. It works in tandem with the words of the Maral. The Maral famously writes that Bayis Rishon was built b'schus Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. B'schus to Avos we merited to have a first Beis Hamikdash. And that's why when we were not at that same Madrega, or we did the antithesis of Midas and concepts that the Avos represented, we lost Beis Hamikdash. We had the Gimel Averis Chamuris Gile, Raish V'Chazdamim and Avodah Zarah, which went in total contrast, in the antithesis of the Midas of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we no longer merited Beis Hamikdash, and it was destroyed. Bayis Sheni, says the Maral, was B'schus Klal Yisrael. And therefore, when Klal Yisrael lost their being Klal Yisrael, when they themselves disintegrated because of Sin Eschinam, we lost Beis Hamikdash as well. But that's the idea. The Avos sort of implanted the merits that were then used for all of their descendants. The Avos were not around in the Bayis Rishon, yet we merited Nevuah, yet we merited the Arayin, all of the things that we had in the Beis Hamikdash, in the first Beis Hamikdash, in a Bechina of Leah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's arousal through the investment that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov made, that was for Bayis Rishon. Bayis Sheni, it's built on the Schus of Klal Yisrael, and therefore Klal Yisrael must maintain it. Klal Yisrael must maintain them as Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael must maintain their giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to then allow to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu to then give us Nisim. The Vilna Gaon says, let us not make a mistake, that it would seem that Bayis Rishon is the optimum, and that's the greater phase to be in, the phase of Leah. And he quotes a Zohar that says, Moshivi Akeres HaBayis. The Zohar says, Da Rachel, Dehi Ikra DeBesa. Rachel is the Akeres HaBayis. Who's the Ikr one of Yaakov's wives? That we know is Rachel Imenu. Is the Ihi Ikra DeBesa. She, Rachel, is the main wife. It doesn't mean, in this context, the Vilna Gaon understands the Zohar telling us in terms of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem has two ways of relating to us, a relationship through Leah, a relationship through Rachel. And the relationship through Rachel is that we give Kaviyach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tenu Oiz Lelekim. It's our arousal, our awakening to allow Shechina then to rest on us. That's our main tachlis in this world. So when we compare Purim to Hanukkah, when the Gemara says that Purim is the last of the Nisim, what about Hanukkah, asks the Gemara, to which the Gemara answered, Nidnali Kasev Kramrinan. In other words, those miracles that can be committed to writing. That means to say that those miracles that were in a tkufa, they were in an era where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving us Nisim Geluyim through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's own arousal Kaviyachol. That's when we were dealing with a Teresh B'Ksav, when they had the Arayin in our midst, when we had the Arayin in the Beis Hamikdash. That was the first Beis Hamikdash. In Bayis Sheni, we no longer merited Arayin. We no longer merited the Urim Etumim or Nevuah or Shechina on a constant basis. For that, that indeed Chanukah is the last of the miracles, but it's not literally Kasev. That's no more Nevuah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's communication with people is not through Nevuah, but it's through our Chochmah. How does a person get so great that he knows the wisdom of Hashem? How does he know what Hashem wants? Not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him in a dream and tells him as Nevuah, but through his Chochmah, through his diligence, through his toil, through his hard work in Torah. Then he's merits to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Through delving into the Torah, Kud Shebruchu Vayrai Secharu, through that Chochmah, a person merits then the guidance. And that, says the Vilna Gaon, that's Ikra HaBayis, that's the main tachlis of a person. Through Chochmah, indeed, like the Gemara says in Baba Basra, Chocham Odif Minavi. This is Chanukah. Chanukah is in Bayis Sheni. Chanukah is through Chochmah. Chanukah is no Torah Shebiksav in the Beis Hamikdash. Chanukah is through Torah Shebaal Peh, through the hard work, through Mesiris Nefesh. And that's why we bezeicha through Mesiris Nefesh to the Nes of Chanukah. What's Mesiris Nefesh? The Gemara in Brachis relates a conversation between two Amirim. And one Amir was sort of complaining and saying, why is it that in Deiris HaRishonim, in the earlier generations, miracles happen to them? And in our generations, we're not zechet to miracles. Why is that? And he was bothered by it, and he says, it can't be because they were superior to us in Torah. And he proves it. He says, you see, in earlier generations, they didn't even, not all people were able to learn Kolat Torah Kula. And in our generations, many people are well versed in all areas of Torah, even the more difficult subjects of Torah. So it can't be because they surpassed us in greatness in Torah. So why is it, he asked his colleague, why is it that they merited miracles? They were Zeichet Nisim. They were Esrachesh Lohu Nisa, and us, we don't merit Nisim. What kind of Nisim were they talking about? Kadosh Baruch Hu opened the heavens? No, but when they needed rain, in the times of Rabbi Yehuda, when they needed rain, and the protocol would be, as the Gemara in Tainis says, that they would gather in the city square, and the chazan, the leader of the people, would take off his shoes as a sign of mourning, and they would fast and beseech Hashem. And in those times, Rabbi Yehuda would just take off one shoe, and all of a sudden the heavens would open up and rain would start falling. But it was Zeicha right away. And us, we take off our shoes and we're fasting, and we don't have the bracha doesn't come to us. And Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't open up the heavens and shower us with His blessings of rain, all the things that we need. These Nisim, which you can't say are open miracles, but they're Nisei Nister, they're bracha, Kadosh Baruch Hu can shower down on Klal Yisrael. Why did they merit it and we didn't merit it? And his colleague answered him, is that the Deis HaRishonim, they were Masur Nafshayu. They were Meisur Nefesh, and we're not Meisur Nefesh. And when you're Meisur Nefesh, you're Zeicha HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bracha. Immediately you're Zeicha HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bracha. And the Gemara writes a story, what kind of Mesiris Nefesh did they have? And the Gemara just depicts one story to show that that generation had Mesiris Nefesh. What was the story over there? Story about Rav Adda, one of the Amirim, walking in the street one day, and he saw a Jewish girl who was wearing something that was inappropriate for a Bas Yisrael to be wearing. It was immodest clothing for a Bas Yisrael to be wearing. And he ran over and he ripped off this article of clothing from this girl. And then it turns out she actually wasn't a Jewish girl. She was a non-Jew. And he felt very bad. And they went to the Beis Din together and they estimated how much he owes her in damages, and he paid her 400 zuz. The Gemara says this is a proof that in the earlier generations they had Mesiris Nefesh. That's the story we use for Mesiris Nefesh. That's the Mesiris Nefesh of the earlier generations. And because of that, on account of that, says the Sifsei Chaim, what does the Mesiris Nefesh really mean? What is a Nefesh? What's the Nefesh of a person? What really gets to a person? What's really giving up of oneself? We'll give a mashal. Imagine a person is swindled from several thousand dollars. Person steals several thousands of dollars from him. Person feels very bad. He's angry. He's frustrated. Feels terrible. A person loses their job. Also feels very bad. Also feels dejected, feels depressed, feels anger. But yet if we think about it, it may not even come to the deep, hard feelings of when someone is brutally insulted by somebody else. But really insulted. Insulted in front of other people, put down, berated. He's still fully healthy. He still has his job. He still has his wife and children. He still has his money. No one stole him. No one embezzled him. No one fired him. And yet that goes so deep down to the core of a person, to his nefesh, that it could take weeks to be able to get back to himself. That's Mesiris Nefesh. And here Rav Ada took his own kavod, his own dignity, his own self, his nefesh, and put it aside for the sake of Ratzon Hashem. He felt this was an insult. This was improper for a Jewish girl to be walking around like this. And he was mevaze himself. He disgraced himself. And that's why it's a beautiful story of Mesiris Nefesh from the earlier generations. Indeed, in the end he was mistaken, and he paid for his mistake, his hastiness. But the fact that he was willing to do that, the fact that he was willing to put his own dignity aside and disgrace himself for the glory of Hashem, indeed depicts the great Mesiris Nefesh that they had in the earlier generations. And because of that, they merited tremendous bracha. They merited, as the Gemara says, nisim, that when they needed something, they were immediately blessed with it. Chanukah also is the Yom Tov of Mesiris Nefesh. We don't have to go further than the Chashmonaim themselves. The Bach writes that when they finally realized after 50 years of being subjugated to the decrees, the Gzeiris Reis of the Malchus HaRishah of Yevanim, the family of the Chashmonaim, finally they were Chazru B'tshuva U'masru Nafshayu La'avoda. They were Meisa Nefesh. In their case, they were Meisa Nefesh, they were ready to give up their lives. They were ready to literally give up their lives and fight a melchama, fight a war for the sake of getting back Beis HaMikdash. They understood that the reason they lost the Beis HaMikdash, or they lost at least being able to serve Hashem in that capacity, being able to do the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash, to be able to bring their karbonis, to be able to bring the menachos, to be able to light the menorah daily, that they lost. Why did they lose that? Because they didn't appreciate it. And therefore they said, we have to be ready to give up our lives. It has to be that it bothers us so much, it goes to our core, it goes to our nefesh, we're ready to be meiser nefesh to get it back. And therefore they merited the great miracle of Chanukah. In our case, what's Mesiris Nefesh? What's the Mesiris Nefesh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands of us in order for us to be zeiche to bracha in our lives, to nisim, that it should be a srachish lo nisim, that nisim should occur, bracha should occur from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Certainly we understand we don't have to give up our lives. But we have to go further than what we're comfortable doing. We have to go beyond our comfort zone. Beyond what we feel is just acceptable and where we're comfortable in being at that standard, at that madriga, that level. We have to go push further than that. The way we push further than that is that it really bothers us that we don't have this particular mitzvah, that we can't be at a certain madriga, that we can't perhaps do this particular chesed. And even the ratzon itself, because nefesh is ratzon. Mesiris nefesh is mesiris ratzon. The pasuk says, Avraham Avinu, when he's talking to the Bnei Ches, im yesh es nafshechem, if it is your will. The Torah clearly says, nafshechem, your nefesh means your will. That's what mesiris nefesh is. Giving up our own ratzon for the higher ratzon of that of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a beautiful story. It was actually just reprinted. The story that I heard myself from Rabbi Zefrin, because it involved his Zayde, his grandfather, Rabbi Meir Mann, who was part of a group of Bukharim during World War II. about 18 Bachrim in this group, together with Rab Chaim Stein Zatzal. Chaim Stein, who later became the Reshiva in Telz, Cleveland. And he was sort of the head of the group. He too was a Bachur. And there was a period of time that they were traveling throughout the wastelands of Russia. They were traveling by train. And all of them, these 18 Bachrim, were traveling by train. It was going on for days and days. And they realized it was Hanukkah. And how would they be able to light the menorah? No menorah. They have just the bare possessions that they were carrying on them. Where did they get a menorah from? They said, no, we have to put in an effort, we have to try. And they took some strands from the edge of their shirts, and that made good wicks. No, they have a wick. For the mitzvah, all you need is one candle, one light per night. So they had a wick. That one will burn down, at least that for the next one. So they made wicks for themselves. Where do they have in there? What are they going to put it in? They'll put it in an old tin can that they found. Gebaldik, so they have two out of three. They have the nair and they have the wick, but they don't have the most important thing. They don't have the oil. They have no fuel to burn it with. Now one Bachar decided, you know what? I have an interesting idea. At the next stop that the train made, he jumped off the train and he looked underneath, and indeed, the wheels of the train were full of black grease. So he took the can, and however long the train stayed at the station, they let it drip. This black grease dripped into the can that they had, and indeed they had enough to light for that night. And they did that the next stop also. And they jumped out and put some oil, this wheel grease into the can, and they lit yet another night. And they were so happy. The fourth day was Shabbos. Shabbos, obviously, they couldn't go off the train and get the oil. They didn't have, they'll wait for the night. By the time, let's say, Shabbos came along, and they were already further into Russia, there was a tremendous snowstorm. It was frigid outside, below zero. Impossible. Impossible to go out, and even if they go out, you probably couldn't even get to walk under the train. No, what can you do? All the Bachrim were terribly dejected, felt terribly. They all went to sleep for the night, except for Reb Chaim Stein and his Chavrusa. And they said, no, we don't have a menorah. At least we'll learn Hilchas Chanukah. That we could do. We can learn Hilchas Chanukah. We can't light the menorah, but we can learn about lighting the menorah. And indeed, him and his Chavrusa stayed up, Reb Baruch Baran. They stayed up and they're talking about the Rambam and about the Shulchan Aruch and delving into all the sugyos of Chanukah, which they had learned in yeshiva. It's already way past midnight, oblivious of the time, they're still learning together, and all of a sudden the door of the car opens up and there's this big Russian peasant standing up, taking up almost the entire doorway. And he asks them, does anybody need candles over here? They almost fainted. Candles? Of course we need candles! And they paid them with the money that they had, they paid him for the candle. They woke up everybody else in the group and they lit another candle that night, and not a night went by without missing Chanukah Lecht. Chaim Stein used to say over this story to the Bachrim in the yeshiva in Telz, and they said, Rebbe, do you think this was Eliyahu HaNavi? And he used to say, if you ask if there was Eliyahu HaNavi or not, you're missing the point of the story. The point of the story is that if you really want to do a mitzvah, Ein Dover Eimin Bifnei HaRotzen. We really want to do that mitzvah. We have such a rutzen to do the mitzvah. We have such a tshuva to do that mitzvah. We have such a desire to perform the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of made it also a little a Nes Chanukah to allow us to even get what we had. And then He wanted to push us even further. And He pushed us further and we say, no, we'll do at least what we can. We'll give all our rutzen to be able to really want to perform the mitzvah. And when a person gives his rutzen to perform a mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives bracha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives nisim. We find even if a person is unable to do more than ratzon, the Gemara in Zvachim tells us a very interesting story about Binyamin HaTzadik. Who's Binyamin HaTzadik? None other than Yaakov Avinu's son. And the Gemara explains that the Beis HaMikdash was divided between the Chelek of Yehuda and the Chelek of Binyamin. And the Chelek of Yehuda was the first part of the Beis HaMikdash, and then from the Mizbeach, and a little further was the part of Binyamin's Chelek. So the Gemara says, except for one strip of the Mizbeach, that was part of Yehuda's Chelek. That was going to be part of Yehuda's Chelek, and therefore there was no foundation on that side, because to indicate it was part of Yehuda's Chelek, not part of Binyamin. Which means Binyamin had the whole Mizbeach in his territory, in his portion of Eretz Yisrael, except for that one strip. And when Binyamin saw Beruach HaKodesh that this was going to happen, the Gemara says that he was mitzta'ir alav b'chol yoyim l'noitla. He always felt bad. He says, I wish I would have the whole Mizbeach. Not that he wanted to take it away from his brother Yehuda, but he felt he wanted the whole Mizbeach. He wanted to have the source of having the entire Mizbeach in his territory. And the Gemara says, because of this, he was zeicha. Lefikach zocha Binyamin atzadik v'nase ush besichon laKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenerma uben kseifav shochein. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests in Binyamin. What is that referring to? Says Rashi, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That the Kodesh HaKadoshim was then given in the portion of Binyamin. Why? Because he wanted to have Mizbeach. He says, I'm Zeichin Mizbeach, but I want more than Mizbeach. We can be very satisfied with what we have. And the mitzvahs I'm able to do, the amount of tzedakah I'm able to give, the amount of chasadim I could do. We can be satisfied with what we do. And then we can want more. We can want more? Listen, we're an Einus. We can't do more than that. We're an Einus. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, yeah, you could be an Einus, but let me see where you can push yourselves further. The Chashmonaim could have said, also we're an Einus. We're not mechuyev to give up our lives to go fight against tens of thousands of Yevani soldiers. But they said, Hashem wants Mesiras Nefesh over here. And Reb Chaim Stein and his fellow Bachrim could have said, well, Pater, what can we do? But they had the Ratzin to do that. And that we see from Binyamin also. Binyamin says, I want more than that. And because he wanted more than that, indeed, he was Zeichet, not to that extra piece of the Mizbeach, but he was Zeichet even more than that. He was Zeichet to the Kodesh HaGadoshim to be in his chus, in his portion. Which is really the whole start of the story of Chanukah. Because we know from the Ramban and Parshas Baal Yisrael, the story of Chanukah starts way before Bayis Sheni. It starts actually by Aaron HaKohen. Famous Chazal that said that Aaron HaKohen, Chol Shadaita, felt bad that everybody was able to contribute karbonis to the Chanukah Sah Mishkan, all of the Nesiim, all of the heads of tribes, nor he, nor his Shevet, were able to give to the Chanukah's HaMishkan. And he felt bad, Chol Shadait, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, Aaron, Shalachah G'day L'Mishalem. You'll see, you'll have something even greater. And the Ramban explains, what was greater, what's something that will be for all times, what's something that will never end, even after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, that's Neris Chanukah. Your descendants are Aaron HaKohen. They'll be Zeichet to this Nes of Neris Chanukah, which we still do today, even in Golus. That's the one Avodah of Beis HaMikdash that we still have even after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, even after we are no longer in Beis HaMikdash, we're in Golus, we still have that avodah to do. And it was all became why? Because of Aaron HaKohen's Ratzon. He says, I felt bad, I wanted to do that. It's after the fact, Aaron, what are you doing? Don't cry over spilled milk. No, because it bothered him to the core. His nefesh felt bad. I really wanted to do that. And when you really want to do something, Kodesh Baruch Hu says you'll get it. Either you yourself will get it, your children will get it, your descendants will get it. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I give bracha to all those who are meisa nefesh. Those who give of their nefesh, those who really want, those who have ratzain, Hashem says I will give them bracha. Perhaps we could explain I'm not sure how much time elapsed, so it's okay, would you
I have 10 after 9.
Huh? 10 after 9?
That's what I have.
Okay. Perhaps we could explain also with a concept from Chanukah of how this works. How this works that when a person gives of his nefesh, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now I'll give you bracha. when those who are meisen ashayu, those who are meisen nefesh, like the earlier generations, Hashem says, for them I give nisim right away. For them what they need, I open up the heavens for them and it rains even before they have to start davening. When the chashmonoim are meisen nefesh, I create nisim. How does this work? Can't have a shir on Chanukah without mentioning the Beis Yosef's kasha. That if they only, the nes only occurred for 7 days because they had enough oil for one day, why do we have the celebration of the nes? Why do we have the Yom Tov of Chanukah for 8 days instead of 7 days? And the Beis Yosef himself gives three different answers. It's not relevant exactly what his answers are, but the Taz, one of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, he asks the kasha, he says, in all the terutzim that you give me, Rabbeinu Abeis Yosef, he says, but where in it? You want to say that some oil was left, that's one of your terutzim, there was oil left, even after they used it the first night, there was still oil left, and then it lasted, so you see there was an ace that night. But where in Chazal, why don't Chazal make mention of the fact that there's this miracle that occurred, even on the first day? The miracle, we know, it lasted more than that. But why don't Chazal tell us, and a miracle occurred even on the first day, and that's why we know we have it for 8 days? And the Taz says it must be, and this is how we'll understand the Beis Yosef's terutzim, his answers, it must be that it was clear to them that a nes did occur. Why is that? And he explains it based on a Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar is referring to the psukim in Sefer Melachim. There's a story in Sefer Melachim with the wife of Ovadia. Ovadia Hanavi was a great tzaddik, and an Achav wanted to kill out all of the Nevi'im. He hid them in a cave, 50 in one cave, 50 in another cave, and he sustained them by providing food for them. Where did he get all this money from? He borrowed a lot of money. And then Ovadia passed away. And the Ashes Ovadia, the Pasuk tells us, comes running to the Navi Elisha and says, The Noshim are coming, they want their money back, and they're threatening, they're going to take away my two children if I don't pay them. What should I do? And you know my husband, Ovadia, was a big tzaddik, and he provided food, but they're coming to take my children away, she says. So Elisha says, "Ma yesh lechi babayis? What do you have? Do you have utensils in the house?" She says, "I have nothing, I'm a poor woman." She says, "Go to your neighbor and your other neighbor and borrow as many kalim as you can get." And that's what she did. And she borrowed as many pots and pans and vessels that she can from her neighbor. And then he says, "Here, take this flask of oil and start pouring. And you'll see it'll keep pouring and will not stop until all of the kelim are filled up." And kachav, and that's what happened. And when the last pot was filled up, the oil stopped pouring from the jug. Anes Chanukah, Pach Shemen, that had enough to go for all the pots. But says the Zohar HaKadosh, that if she would not have had pots and she was able to borrow them, if she would not have had a receptacle to pour the oil in it, then a Kodesh Baruch Hu's bracha can't happen. And if you don't even start with a little oil to start pouring into the pot, the bracha cannot happen. And the Zohar actually tells us, it's an interesting Zohar, and it comes out an interesting halacha also. The Zohar says that based on this pasuk, and this concept that birchon de la'ela le'sharyan ba'asa rekanya, the bracha of Hashem cannot be placed on something that's empty. There has to be something that's there. There has to be a little pile of light in order to ignite a great flame. Something has to be there for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to put His blessing on something. For Hashem's bracha to be chal, it has to be there's something there. If it's empty, the bracha can't be chal. The Zohar mentions this halacha concerning benching. Shulchan dechol bar nash, the table of a person. It's tarach lamave kamei. You have to have the food on the table when you bench. unless you say it, it's only a Zohar HaKadosh. I just want to mention halacha in Shulchan Aruch Siman Kuf Pei in Aruch Chaim, because I think not everybody's aware of this halacha. The halacha says like this: the Shulchan Aruch says, "Ein lahosir amapa v'alechem ad achir birchas hamozen." Do not remove the bread, whatever's left over, the bread, at least the crumbs, do not remove it from the table until after birchas hamozen. Says the Mishnah Berurah, quoting Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham quotes the Zohar. Why? Because gamba brocha ein sheira al davar reik ela kishayesh sham davar. You have to have something. This bread here, Hashem says, now I can give you brocha. Now you're birchas hamozen. Now you're giving to me, you're isarusa delatata, you're giving to the benching, you're benching me, you're thanking me, you're showing your gratitude to me, Hashem says, now with this bread here, I can make my brocha chal on the bread. If it's empty, there's nothing for the to be chal on. Ke'inyin pach shemen shel elisha. So the Taz says this is how it worked. It had to work by the Pach Shemen, by the Nes Chanukah also. There had to be, there was some oil left, because if there was no oil left, there was nothing for the Bracha of Hashem to be Chalon. So he says that obviously there was must have been some oil left. So it's apparent that Chazal don't have to tell us, and there was oil left the fifth of the first night, because if there was no oil left, there's no way that it would have extended for another 7 nights. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bracha is only chal on something that's there. So perhaps this is the concept of tying in the understanding of Chanukah, that it happened by a sheni. It happened in time of HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do the work. We have to initiate the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're the Rachel Yaakov relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and by a sheni. It's chachma, it's not nevuah, it's hard work to be able to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. It's mesiras nefesh like the Chashmonaim had. And that mesiras nefesh, once we put in that ratzon, the ratzon being there, then Hashem could put His blessing on it. Person has the ratzon for a mitzvah. Binyamin had a ratzon to have the mizbeach and his chaylak. Hashem says, on that ratzon, I could put my bracha on. And that's what we see from the Chashmonaim themselves. We see this from that maaseh with Reb Chaim Stein, that the ratzon itself, for a person giving of his nefesh, of his ratzon, to want to have, to want to perform mitzvahs, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, of that I can be chal my bracha. Person makes the birchas hamazon with the understanding that birchas hamazon can bring the whole shefa of parnasa. That's what can give a person great bracha, as the Sefer HaChinuch writes in the mitzvah of birchas hamazon. But it has to be there's something there. It has to be that Kodesh Baruch Hu has what to give the bracha on. Just recently, a young woman called me up and that she's going for interviews for jobs, and she emails them ahead of time explaining if she knows the interview is going to be with a man. She explains politely that she won't be able to shake hands. And that should be understood beforehand. It shouldn't be awkward when they meet. And she's done this several times. And she's gotten the interview. And she hasn't yet gotten a job. And she wants to know, is there a heter? Perhaps it's okay, because someone told her, in the name of somebody else who's in this field, that says, you know, nowadays, especially in this field, like that's standard protocol, you have to do such things. So I said to her, that if you tell me that not shaking hands on an interview is like you're walking into the interview wearing a clown hat, I said, you know, that's a question of maybe you're not making the right ishtadlus, and then maybe perhaps there is a heter in this case, and perhaps for a woman it's different. If that's what you tell me. But if you tell me that you emailed them and you explained to them and they gave you the interview and you said the interview went well, and you say this maybe is the only thing that they're hinging it on, they're not allowing you a second interview, they're not giving you a job just because you're not doing this, and it's not like you're doing something outlandish. I say, I think what Hashem wants from you is just to push yourself a little further. I think it's an assignment for you. I think Hashem wants to see where your Mesiris Nefesh is. And this is a young woman who I know that's her standard. Her standard is she wants to keep to this. She doesn't want to bend the rules. She doesn't want to be able to have a leniency. She's just asking. She's feeling frustrated. I said, I think that that's what Hashem wants from you. Hashem wants to see your Mesiris Nefesh, your Mesiris Rasim a little bit more to keep this mitzvah. And then Hashem will say, now I can make the bracha bichal. Now I can give you the appropriate job that I have in store for you. And this was the Chashmonan, that's how they were zeichet to find the Pach Shemen even. They searched for the Shemen, v'timu kol hashmanim, we say. The Yevonim went and defiled every single last jug of oil. So what did they think? They looked at one, another, maybe dozens, no more left. What are they looking for? Where are you looking? Tosfos says they found it under the ground. Under the ground? What are you looking under the ground for? Why should you even think that it's there? The answer is because they said, we want to find it. We want to find it so badly that we're going to look for it. And indeed Hashem says, you want it so badly? I'll let you find it. You'll let you find it. It's underground. It's hidden with the chasim of the Kohen Gadol. And that's what Chanukah, which is the last Yom Tov. Indeed, Voike Chanukah, the Gemara says, Chanukah is the Seif Kol HaNisim. And indeed, Chanukah is the Nisim, is the Seif Kol HaNisim, but it's the last of the Nisim where we have to initiate for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Sheir HaShechina. We have to give our Ratzin, we have to be Moiser Nefesh, we have to be Moiser that Ratzin to really want something badly for then for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Sheir His Bracha, to rest His Bracha in all that we do and all that we want. The Sfasemis tells us that Chanukah being the last Yom Tov, that's going to be the last miracle and the last Yom Tov that occurred in history. That's going to be the Yom Tov indeed that takes us in our preparations for the Bayis Shlishi. As we mentioned before, it's the only one that we still, the only Yom Tov that we still do something that resembles, or maybe in actuality is an avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. Chanukah we know is only 8 days, both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laretz. Why don't we have a ninth day? Why don't we have a Sveika de Yoma? We're not sure which day. Every other Yom Tov we have that, except for Rosh Hashanah for its own reasons. Why don't we have that? Because Chanukah is already a Yom Tov as if we are in Eretz Yisrael already. Chanukah is ready, it's leading up to the third Beis Hamikdash. And indeed, as Reb Yitzchok Volozhin writes, Eila Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan of Eidus, Rashi says, what's Mishkan? Mishkan, Mishkan is Mashkin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a Mashkin from us. Hashem says, you're not worthy of the Mishkan, I take it back, it's my Mashkin. I'm holding it for safekeeping, as a deposit by me. So Rabbi Yitzchok Volozhin asked, a Pekudin, you can't keep it forever, you have to give it back. And he says, indeed, Hashem says, when you ask for it back, I'll give it back. When you really want it back, when your ratzin is you really want it back, we say Chanukah should be the Yom Tov that leads up to be able to be Zeiche, to have the Kehanim Gedolim, the Kehanecha HaKadoshim, that they should be lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina should come down again through our avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. When we really want it, we really have a Mesiris Ratzin, a Mesiris Nefeshvish, then indeed HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, now I have the Ratzin of my children, now I can make my Bracha Chal. And with that, Emes Hashem, we'll be Zeiche, the Meher V'Yameinu to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash.